meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline, coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board-certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. I'm out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, home of Dawson's Creek.
Good times.
And, yeah, Dr. Drew's coming out tomorrow, and the two of us are going to be filming all week here in North Carolina. We're going to do an episode of Dawson's Creek. It's like a Loveline episode. So we'll
You're
be out
gay.
Here.
How crazy is that?
It is a little bizarre. But we'll be out here all week, and hopefully we'll wrangle some of the stars of the show to come on the show at some point. But it's 1 a.m. out here. I can't see any of these prima donnas coming on the show at this hour.
Well, let's be clear about it. It's one. If you're now at 1 a.m. East Coast time, and you're broadcasting back to the West Coast, you'll finish at 3 a.m., and then these guys start shooting like 6, 7 in the morning. And so who are we going to get?
We'll see. Nobody. We'll get someone. We shouldn't even be here.
Well, that goes without saying, but...
All right, I got a story to tell about travel today, but first I want to welcome our guests, the Ataris, Chris and Johnny.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
Good, good, good. All right, so we'll get to the Ataris in just 1 second. Let me just explain what went on
they
today.
They have a travel story to tell you, too.
Oh, really?
Or somebody they met en route to the station.
Oh, yeah. I met Gallagher today, the watermelon guy in Santa
really?
Barbara.
Really?
He says
bye.
Buying watermelons. Yeah.
Did you do a gig in Santa Barbara?
No, we're based out of Santa Barbara, and we were up there in the studio doing working on some live stuff. So.
Oh, really? And you saw the great prompt comedian Gallagher.
We heard you have some kind of like ongoing
thing with him.
Yeah.
Well, I love Gallagher, but I mean Gallagher was like the highest grossing comedian of the 80s. A lot of people don't know that, but now he's
remember.
Just an insane bald man with a mullet.
And he has like a psycho brother, I guess, that like tries to steal his act or something.
Really?
I saw.
Oh yeah, his brother
like
took
twin.
Over his act. Yeah.
The funny thing was is like I was in like a supermarket up there, and this kid came up to me and was like, "Hey, you're in the Ataris." I was like, "Yeah, nice to meet you." And he's like, "Well, I'm really glad you were nice to me because Gallagher just totally shunned me." And I'm like, "What do you mean Gallagher?" And I like totally cut the kid off, and like all of a sudden, like I was being lame. I was like, "Show me where Gallagher is right now."
Shut up, kid. I gotta find Gallagher.
And I'm like, "Hey, can I get a photo?"
Right to the watermelons.
I'm guessing Gallagher's in the produce.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep, he bought 7 watermelons.
Seriously?
Yes, I'm serious.
He's still doing the same gig, Adam.
Yep.
Or else he likes
watermelons. Who knows? He could have just been having a picnic.
Could have been his brother.
His
twin. No,
yeah.
Your travel story, though. What was
so? Oh, all right. I'll tell you in a second. Yeah. So what happened here is, and Drew, this will ring true for you. I'm shooting tomorrow here at Dawson's Creek. Drew isn't slated to shoot until Tuesday.
By the way, let me interrupt you for a second. Have you read the script yet?
No, I've not
okay,
read the
all right,
script.
Good. You'll be rudely disturbed tomorrow, I suspect, when you finally get to it. But all right.
I know. The thing that was funny is I was talking to the Wrangler guy today. Called me at the hotel, and he said, I said, "Well, what scenes am I going to be doing tomorrow?" And he goes, "Well, you'll be doing scenes 6, 8, 13, 17, and 21. So do you have those committed to memory yet?" I'm like, it's going to be bad. But all right, so that'll be a long day tomorrow. But what happened is they said, "Look, we need to get you out here Sunday. There's a 7 a.m. flight that leaves LAX, and we're going to need you on that plane. And you fly out to, like, Charlotte, and then that flies you into Wilmington." And I said, 7 a.m. on Sunday? And they're like, "Yeah, the car will pick you up at 5:15. I was like, no. I go to bed at 5 on Saturdays. I'm not getting up at 5:15. There's got to be a later flight." And they're like, no, there's no later flights. You got to get on the 7 a.m. flight. So I got my... my people on it, and my people said, "You know what? There's a 1:10 flight out of LAX." And I said, "Ooh, that sounds good. Yeah. Call them and tell them I'm going to be on the 1:10 flight." So she calls them and tells them I'm going to be on the 1:10 flight, and they say, "Oh, no, listen, he can't take the 1:10 flight because if something goes wrong, there's no other flights after that, and we won't be able to shoot tomorrow." Oh. And I said, "Tell him not to worry about it. Don't have a cow." And they said, "Well, listen, here's the deal. He can fly the 1:10 flight, but if there's any difficulties, he has to pay for his own charter." out here to Wilmington.
Nice, nice.
Yes, oh, yes. Man. But you know me. Nice. I'm ready to roll the dice.
Yeah, you're good.
Ready to roll the dice.
Been in your shoes.
So the car is supposed to pick me up at 11:15 this morning to make my 110 flight out at LAX. It's a beautiful day in Southern California. And they call about 11 and they say, you know what? With the marathon, the guy's running just a little bit late, but he should make it. He's going pretty good. It's gonna be a couple minutes late. So I'm out front waiting for with my bags, and now it's getting near 12. Ooh. And this whole you got to charter your own flight thing is echoing in my head. And now it's noon, and the guy ain't there.
You got to get in the car.
And the marathon, basically, for people who don't know the route of the LA Marathon. The airport, there's my house, then there's the airport, and the route goes exactly between my house and the airport.
Oh, my God.
If you can picture that.
You
know what I mean? It just takes up that whole area.
I didn't even think about that.
Think about where I live. Think about where the planes live, Drew.
Oh, my God.
That's the entire route of the
thing. You have to go over the back into the valley and up the 405.
Well, I learned that I had to do that. So, now, luckily, I had a 155 thing on Delta that I had my peeps save for me, too, in case there was some kind of difficulty. But I still think I can make my 110 flight. So I start yelling at my wife. We jump in the car. We get on the freeway. We start heading downtown. It's gridlock. Get off the freeway. Go back. Drive all the way through the valley. Still think I can make the 110 flight, but US Air, right at the beginning of the airport, the opening where Southwest is.
That's good.
And the other one's on Delta, which is on absolutely the other side.
Yeah,
it's about 2 miles as the crow flies from the Delta
110.
To the US flight. Drops me off, can't make the flight, can't get in. Oh. Now I'm schlepping 2 weeks worth of socks and underwear to the Delta thing. Just sweating like a shoe bomber as I pull up to the Delta counter. But it all worked. I schlepped everything across the I was like running down the middle of the street and through the parking lots. It was like OJ going through the airport.
Oh, yeah. Been there.
But I'm here. I'm safe. The Ataris are here. They have seen Gallagher. So... all is well, and so you guys are from Santa Barbara or out of Santa Barbara now?
I grew up in a town in Indiana called Anderson, Indiana, and then I met our original drummer. Oh yeah, two hands clapping. No, I met our drummer, our old drummer Derek. He was from Santa Barbara, playing a band called Lagwagon, and I moved to Santa Barbara. Hey, there we go. Moved out there and started the band up with him. We were together about 6 months with that lineup, and then we started the band with the lineup we have now, except we have a new guitar player that joined with us about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago.
That would be
Toad the Wet Sprocket from Santa Barbara?
That's right, and actually Glenn Phillips of Toad the Wet Sprocket sings backups on one of the songs on our new record.
Wow.
So, oh, good.
He's a friend of ours.
I like Toad the Wet Sprocket. I always dug that band.
Great songwriters.
Yeah, that was my take. So glad you dusted some of them off.
And
to
you guys
back
were
you up.
Being produced by the Vandals?
Our last three records. We have three full length LPs that were out on his label before the label Columbia put out our new record, Sidon Astoria. And go ahead.
So Adam, basically, they blew off our buddy Joe Escalante, and they went with the big boys.
No, actually, our contract with Kung Fu was up, and we just kind of felt that. For us, it's like what we wanted to do as when we started this band is we just wanted to reach as many people as possible.
He spoke very highly of you guys. He really did.
Yeah, Joe's a great guy, and Kung Fu is a great label. And we just kind of felt at the point in our career, we definitely just wanted to at least explore all options. And we hated major labels for a long time, and we just felt that after, we talked with some indie labels and some major labels when our deal was up, and we very well could have been happy staying on an indie label and probably would have made more money at least in advance when it comes down to like the advance monies you make, but we just felt that it was just the natural thing for us to do is to try and
get out there
well not just that but just gain a different fan base and some new fans as well as speaking to just like the punk audience.
But don't you think that indie labels and major labels that major labels sort of get it now a little more than they did 10-15 years ago as far as
I think the problem was though still that sometimes major labels
they'll beat something over the head. You know what I mean? Like, they'll just keep signing something that was popular 5 years ago.
Yeah,
they'll just
know,
keep doing it. But like, I think they're getting it a little bit more by, like, bands like Thursday being signed to a major label and Thrice.
Yeah, I think one good thing is, like, you know, what you'll find is, like, I remember when I was a kid, like, you know, Nirvana came along and they kind of killed hair metal. And it's like now, you know, like the Strokes and the White Stripes and everyone came along and they kind of, you know, killed something else. And I think the good thing is like those bands kind of, Nirvana and then the White Stripes and Strokes, they give like the music buying public a big wake up call. It's like, you know, we want to listen to rock music. We don't want to listen to this processed crap, you know? And I think that that's kind of like what Elvis Costello or the Replacements or these bands did in back in the day. But the one bad thing, though, is like, yeah, is what John said, is like, you know, there will definitely be the major labels will sign 17 other bands that try to sound like the Strokes and the White Stripes and the Hives and so-and-so, when those bands were doing that, you know, for a while, and they were definitely, you know, writing good songs. And I think that, you know, that happened with everything from, like, you know, power pop to, like, you know, to
new
everything.
Metal.
Yeah, for sure, you
well,
know.
Well, maybe we should hear something from the Ataris now that we've been
right.
talking about the music and everything, then we'll
right.
come back and take some phone calls.
And this first song is called In This Diary.
Matter.
Sorry, So Long Astoria is the name of the CD. Out Tuesday. Chris and Johnny both here from the band.
Hello.
Hi. How you doing?
And I guess it's time to get to the phones here.
I guess
Drew.
It is. This is Amir 13. Amir?
Oh, hi.
Hey, what's going on, Amir?
my question is that my dad is getting transferred to California, and we're going to be moving to Bakersfield.
Adam.
And I want to know if it's really bad.
Well, Amir's sort of vibrant mentality will fit in very nicely there.
We just played Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Amir, it's not bad if you're coming from, like, Lebanon or Beirut or something like that, but if you're coming from a decent place, it's going to be quite a step down. Where are you coming from?
Maryland.
Oh, yeah. You got to kill yourself. You got to do it now.
Unless you want to take up being a rodeo guy.
It's going to be a little bit of a shock for you. Everything's brown and flat and dry.
Yeah. The summers are definitely a real bum
hot.
Out. It's about 105.
There's always Jerry's Pizza.
There is a small little rock club there where bands play called Jerry's Pizza. The owner looks like Jonathan Davis from Korn. He has a mustache.
I think everyone in that town
maybe
looks
that
like
is,
Jonathan
maybe that is
Davis
from Korn.
I'm sorry, but having a mustache isn't cool. And it
so,
never was.
So, Amir, why is your dad being transferred to Bakersfield?
He's a lawyer, and his firm is transferring there.
Oh,
it's a pretty shabby law firm, huh?
Wow, he must have really screwed up.
Well, no, he's not like. I mean, when I say lawyer, I don't mean he like makes a lot of money. He's not making that much money.
And agricultural law.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, bovine law.
And I've already told him I don't want to go, and he's saying like I should be glad because we're gonna be making more money.
How old are you again? Well, I mean, you'll be fine. California's a good place.
He's 13.
You're really gonna be fine. Don't freak out. Do not freak out. This will be fine.
A couple years, you'll get your license, and then you'll be able to like, you know, at least it's only a couple hour drive from LA. You know, it's like maybe for all you know, you'll actually like meet some cool people there.
Yeah,
you'll be able to like, you know, you'll find yourself,
it's
man.
Turn
I grew
out
up in
great.
A small town, dude. It's totally all right. You know, you can always. There's always hope.
Yeah.
But doesn't it seem like the firm opened a branch in Bakersfield just to threaten employees who were effing up?
Yeah, sort of.
You know what I mean? Like, remember in Hogan's Heroes, they'd always threaten to send a clink to the Russian front?
Yeah.
Isn't this sort of the California, isn't this the equivalent to the Russian front?
Yes, it's firm for wayward lawyers.
Hey, Bob, you show up with a hangover again. You're going out to head up the Bakersfield firm. All right, buddy, so straighten up.
This is Ian who's 20. Ian?
A buddy of mine had a child with his wife, and it was born with no hand. He did a lot of drugs in high school. I just wanted to know if that has that to do with it.
No hand. You mean sort of an underdeveloped hand?
Yeah.
Underdeveloped hand. You know, strangely enough, there was a report a couple years ago, and it's never been really substantiated, that of all things, marijuana use by the father increases the risk of orthopedic disturbances. So
really?
I don't know that to be true. It has been reported. I find that hard to believe because an awful lot of guys smoke pot, and I don't see a lot of this kind of thing.
Well, so, it was actually more than pot. He did, cocaine.
Yeah, I understand. Generally, whatever the dad does not impact on the baby. I really don't believe it does anything other than to transfer that gene for addiction over to the kid.
Well, what percent? I mean, one out of every several thousand kids just has a deformity, right?
Yeah, for various reasons.
Now, Drew, let me ask you this. Are you right-handed or left-handed out of the womb?
Yes.
Or do they know?
No, you are. But they don't know, but you are. Your brain lateralizes.
What's that mean? Go sideways?
That means there's a right and a left to your brain, and that tends to...
What if you come out with the nub?
That tends you to predispose. Right, well, then you may still be lateralized, but you'll still become other-handed.
Right, and you'll never really know because what would have been your good hand is gone, so you'll use your other hand from the word go, and that'll be your good hand.
Actually, you will, Adam, because if you notice how most left-handers, when they write like this. It's like their hand's curved around, they're writing backwards. A true left-hander writes like they're writing with the right hand.
See, how to explain me. I'm right-handed. I write right-handed, but I play guitar. I took a right-handed guitar, flip it over. No, I can't write left-handed. I play like
you're ambidextrous with other tasks.
Yeah,
like you play tennis with one hand, or you throw a ball with another, and kick with both feet.
So
that
I'm
kind
just
of thing.
Really a freak. Then.
You may be true. So a very small percentage have flipped over, so they're true left. My wife is true left.
Really?
Oh, so you can tell by the way they write.
Yep.
Oh, so Drew, watch the way I write next time, because I'm left-handed.
Yeah, I think you were not a true lefty, if I remember.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah.
How dare you, Drew?
Yeah, well, you know, there's not much true about you. But, Brent, here we go, 19.
Yes, I'm from Payette and stuff like that, and I was using methamphetamines through a needle and sleeping with this girl that had hepatitis C. And
you were shooting drugs?
Yes.
And you were sleeping with a girl who you knew had hepatitis C?
No, I didn't at that time.
Didn't know at the time?
No, she was just like a bed bug.
Yeah.
And now we're already broken up and stuff, and there's this other girl that she's really interested in me, and she says that she wants to be with me forever and stuff, but yeah. I don't know how to be with her without giving it to her.
Do you know you have it?
Yeah, I know I have it because I went down and I got tested because I heard it from other people.
Okay, you probably got it from the needles and not from the sex, Brad. It's very difficult to get hepatitis C through sex. You can, but it's even more difficult than, like, anything, and then HIV. Even people debate whether it's possible. Well, pretty much everybody that uses a needle gets HIV. gets hepatitis. It's very, very common.
She was the very first person that I ever shared a needle with.
Oh,
you
left out that part.
I have two quick questions. Yeah. Does this current girl, is she into drug use as well, and do you share needles with her?
No, she's only smoked pot 3 times.
Okay, does she know that you have hepatitis C?
No, I haven't slept with her yet.
You have to tell her.
Yeah, you definitely have to tell her.
You can transmit it through sex. I certainly believe I've seen that, although there's debate about it.
And
here's the deal, though. You got to get sober, Brent. The hepatitis C, when it becomes chronic, which is most of the time, has a very high risk of cirrhosis and cancer, very high. And the only way you can treat this is if you get sober and get the pegylated interferon treatment and get going with this. This can be cured. They aren't going to treat you until you're sober at least 6 months.
Yeah, I'm through with the meth now. I just smoke pot every once in a while.
You got to get completely sober in the program, off everything for 6 months, and you can show that you're active in a program, then a hepatologist will treat you.
Oh, really? They won't treat you if you chip with a little weed every once in a while?
Because they know that will lead back to the drug of choice without exception.
Yeah, they're all like, you know, definitely get away.
I see.
Yeah.
Always a bad sign when you meet a woman and she announces that she's going to be with you for the rest of her life.
And you're 19 and she's 16.
And, she's probably 14, yeah, be
yeah,
fair.
Good time.
Be fair. But maybe she knew he had the hep C and was thinking, well, the guy's going to make it until 2005.
Yeah, that's forever.
That's forever for him.
Yeah, that's not too big of a commitment. Yeah, maybe she said, I'm going to be with you for the rest of your life. I'll be 19 at the time you kick off. But
man. Nicole or something.
He's got to get himself straight and then get on that interferon stuff because it will screw your liver up, right, Drew?
The hepatitis C, it will cause cirrhosis, it will cause cancer, and it is a devastating disease over years.
Is it? I'm just doing the hepatitis math, but better to get it later in life. I mean, you get it at 19.
Yeah,
is it?
That's actually true. If there's an inactive, there's active and inactive chronic hepatitis C, and if you have, I have several patients that have sort of an inactive hep C and they're in their 70s, we just kind of leave it be.
Yeah.
Oh, you're going to die anyway?
No,
I know, Drew. You're like a mechanic when an old car pulls in and they go, we could turn the rotors on this and rebuild the bottom end, but you just drive it until it kicks off and just leave by the side of the road.
Just like the car, you start monkeying under there and the wheels fall off pretty readily, huh?
All right, we're going to take a little break. The Ataris are in studio tonight. I'm out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. I'm out here in Wilmington, North Carolina tonight. Drew's going to join me tomorrow night. We're doing Dawson's Creek all this week out here. This is where they film the show.
You're gay.
The Ataris are in studio tonight, Chris and Johnny. So Long a Story is the name of the CD, and it is coming out on Tuesday.
That's right.
Yes, correct. I'm sorry.
We're actually doing a big record release party tomorrow night at the Troubadour.
Listen to this, Adam. 10 p.m. tomorrow at the Troubadour. Free show.
Wow.
They're
I may come back for that.
I mean, I told them, I said, you sure you wanted to announce this? Because people are going to love this music, and it's going to be tomorrow, 10 p.m. at the Troubadour, free. Ataris, live. And with a signing afterwards.
Yeah, we're going to...
You got to get Get there early, because the Troubadour's not a huge venue.
No. I mean, I hope you guys are calling Hollywood PD and stuff, because the street's going to be
We're going to do, like, a whole deal where we sign the record and sell it for the first time at midnight. And, you know, that's like it's a place where we kind of started playing when we...
Troubadour.
Yeah, when we first started as a band, you know, it was one of the first places I think we actually enjoyed a show in Hollywood. And, because, you know, it was for a while, it was like... You know, so many bands in Hollywood, it was like, wow, it was a good to be a band based out of Santa Barbara, because, you know, it's dime a dozen down here, so.
Now, are they still doing that thing that was going on, like, in the 80s when you had to pre-sell your tickets, where the band would actually have to buy the tickets and then sell them again?
Some bands do that, yeah. We actually did a show for a couple of friends of ours, band Breakdance Vietnam, and it's a band called The Go Reflex.
Nice plug.
But anyway, they tried to, this club called the Key Club, that's a pretty bad club, they kind of made them sell tickets, and yeah.
I know some other bands that as well have to, you know, put up like $500-$600 just to put a show in there, in certain clubs in L.A. That's really hard to do when you're not
it's very discouraging,
known.
You know.
Right. Yeah, that's always a scam. That's like, I remember like in Little League where they want you to sell a box of chocolate.
Speaking of,
I brought the Girl Scout cookies in tonight.
Drew sold us Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, he hit us up right away.
Is that once a year, those Girl Scout goddamn cookies? Or
yes.
It seems like three or four times a year.
No, it's every year.
Jesus, they're trying to kill us, those little bitches. People in my office buy like 80 cases.
Oh my God! I'm coming over to Jimmy's show.
No.
Oh yes, that's what
Drew,
I'm selling.
What is it where the parents? I mean, because this happens all over my office, where people come in and they sell 200-300 boxes of these things on behalf of their 8-year-old kids. And my feeling is all right, so the kid peddles 8-10 boxes to people at school and friends and stuff like that, and then they come back, they give the Girl Scouts $50, and they're done, right? Why have to sell a metric ton of these things?
Good point.
What do they get, Drew?
A badge. A patch.
We get fat.
Yeah. I mean, they get a badge if they sell 5 boxes, right?
Yeah, I don't know the details. I know that my garage is full of cookies. I would get rid of them.
Oh, my God. Drew, why don't you just do the right thing, which is just burn the cookies in your backyard and cut a check for, like, $3,500.
I just see this vision in my head of, like, going out at 2 in the morning and Drew's opened up every box. It's just like, just eating.
Oh, it'd be so easy.
You know what happens, too, is it starts trouble in the office because some people are into, like, the Junior Mints and then other people like the,
Samoas?
Is the one with the... Yes, Samoas.
He was out of Samoas. I was about to tackle him.
Right. People get angry.
Yeah.
And then they get very territorial. Like, hey, yeah, you go off with your Samoas buddies over there. And me and the smart Junior Mints folks, we're going to hang out here.
Well, they get angry if you like one and you don't like the one they like.
Yeah.
Like, what do you mean? Thin
like
Mints
the
are
same,
the best.
It's like the same with rock music.
It's the Ford Chevy thing, you know what I'm saying?
Like, right. All right. And can't the Girl Scouts start making other things, or is it just cookies?
You know, I was thinking, I don't know anything about the company that creates these things, but it's a fascinating little piece of business, isn't it?
Is it millions? It's got to be millions of dollars nationally.
It's
got to
be millions and millions of boxes. Forget the dollars.
The bottom line is definitely kids and advertising. Whoever kind of picked up on, we can have kids sell our products. You know, they definitely stumbled on a good thing.
And why don't they start stocking those like at movie theaters
and
stuff? Because like,
but that'll undo that. The wheels will come off the wagon. Then you won't buy from the Girl Scouts.
But I'd get stoned and go into a movie theater and see a box of Girl Scout cookies and open it with my mouth.
We're going to start selling at my wife's father's hardware store.
Smart.
Yeah, see. Smart. Here we go. Aaron's 19. Aaron?
Oh, hello. What's up? My question is that I whenever me and my girlfriend get into an argument, I tend to bring up her past because she's the first person I've been with and she's been around.
Yeah. What do you mean, been around? What does that mean?
Like, she's slept with a lot of guys.
How many?
I'm not sure, but somewhere like 10 or over.
37.
And how old is she?
She's 21. I'm 19.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right. You've had a few years in was she in college or something?
She goes to the same school that I do.
College?
Yeah.
All right, that's kind of it's in normal range for a 21-year-old, right? You say, Adam?
Yeah, but this is going to bother a guy.
Yeah, because she's my first, and we've been together for a year or so.
You should have got to her when she was a freshman.
So what are you going to do about it, Aaron? Are you going
to
let this eat you up? Are you going to end the relationship, or are you going to let it go? You have three choices. Very simple.
You think this girl's a good girl now, or like, you know?
She's a good girl now, but I don't know why it just keeps bothering me. Like,
hey, what say she wasn't a good girl before? For God's sakes, I mean, yep.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying though, but I mean, I think, you know, the bottom line is you know, if you trust this girl and you know, you really, you guys really have a good thing going. Like, how long have you guys been going out for?
About a year or so.
A year.
A little over a year right now, but like sometimes she lies to me about little things, and it really bugs me, and I don't know if I can totally trust her.
Mm. Yeah, sometimes the little things add up to the big one.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
here's the way you have to look at this, Aaron. Is she healthy or not? Is she full of chaos? Does she have a traumatic past? Is she somebody who have difficulty being in a committed relationship without sabotaging
her? Past relationship, she tells me that her boyfriend's like kind of psychotic, and he threatens a suicide and all this other stuff.
All right, so that suggests that in the past she's at least been a fixer, that she's somebody sort of codependent, which suggests that maybe she came from a kind of chaotic family background.
No, her family's fine.
What does she like? Any bad habits at all? Does she drink or anything like that? Is she kind of reckless? Is what I think we're getting.
She keeps getting cramps. Other than that,
a little cream will cure that.
Penicillin.
What's that, Aaron? She what?
She used to do drugs and stuff, but when we got together, I guess she stopped.
Yeah. See, that's bad.
Maybe she's just not the girl that you're looking for.
Or maybe she is, but you've got to look at her realistically for who she actually is. And maybe she's an addict, and maybe she's sort of in kind of marginally in remission right now, but there's stuff starting to surface. She had
plus, you have all that energy when you're 19. And for a 19-year-old guy to be with a woman who's vastly more experienced than he is sort of a recipe for disaster.
That makes him feel much better. She's vastly more experienced.
Well,
he's a punk
first
here.
Off, you don't have. I mean, it doesn't take much to be vastly more experienced than a guy who's not been with anybody but her.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, all you got to be with is with one other person, and you're 100 times more experienced. Right.
But let's also be clear about what's good for him. What's good for him is for this relationship not to last, because he should have other relationships.
But what's bad for him is to be obsessive about this kind of stuff. If you're in a relationship and the relationship's going okay, then focus on that.
Exactly. Right,
especially when you're 19.
Yeah.
And plus, this is the only girl he's ever been with. He's gonna be out of the game if he gets himself out of this.
Yeah, I think that guy definitely needs to.
Here's Zach, 18.
Look past it.
Hello.
Zach,
how's everybody doing this evening?
Doing great, sir. Zach. Fine, how are you doing?
Zach. Hey, Well, you guys sort of addressed the question I had in the very opening. So is it all right if I just read a couple, like, little segments here? Just stuff I pulled off the message board. I want to give John and Chris a chance to respond.
He's gay.
Yeah, we know this guy. He's a really good guy.
All
he's
right.
Actually,
all right,
he's one of, like, the top posting people on our website.
All
and,
right.
He's a good friend of ours.
I don't just post. I moderate it.
Yeah, that's true. He is.
Hey, Zach.
He's a loser in the universe. Anyway, just, like, there's a lot of stuff going around now about, like, selling out and stuff like that. I find it sort of hard to stomach considering what you guys do for the fans and all that. So I'm just wondering how you guys really respond to that. You know, people talking about, like, MTV, the radio, you guys are going to the radio and all that kind of stuff. How do you guys respond?
I think it's, for us, it's like, you know, we try to really explain to people, you know, how much we really care about our fans. It's like, we definitely go to great lengths to operate the Ataris as a band that we pretty much exist solely for our fans. We, you know, we open a record store in Santa Barbara where, you know, people can come and, you know, when we're there rehearsing, people can come and we've let people come back in our rehearsal space in the back of the store and actually play songs with us. And like, we always let a kid from the audience play guitar in our last song in our set every night. We answer all of our mail, or a majority of our mail personally, and we read all of our mail, but we try to respond as much as possible. Run our own website. You know, these are all things that, like, that I think that if people really, like, look into who the Ataris are, it's like, regardless of what label the Ataris are ever on, these are things that we always will continue to do because it's something that's important to us, and I think it lets people know that we go the extra mile to not just be a rock band. We're a band that, you know, we try to tear down the barriers between our fans and us, and it's something that very few bands do, I think. Maybe, like, Fugazi or Avail or those bands have kind of gone that length, but all in all, I think... you know, punk rock started out, I mean, if you want to call us punk, which I don't think we are, I think we're just a rock band, but if you really want to be technical, I mean, look at The Clash, The Ramones, The Sex Pistols, they were all on major labels. And I feel today, you know, that, you know, there's so many ties with major labels and independent bands. It's like you can't really...
And by the way, thank God, those of us that are lame would never have been exposed to that stuff if somebody didn't distribute it to us. Everyone is tuned in to the underground.
They're not.
You made a comment about, like, Nirvana and all the other bands, like, paving the way for better stuff later.
That's right, exactly. Because, growing up in a small town, there was one little independent record store that I would always go to and buy my records. And that record store shut down. And, you know, what was I supposed to do? It's like, you know, you pretty much, you got to either, you know, to go see shows and whatnot, you'd have to drive 3 hours north to Chicago or 2 hours to Cincinnati to go buy a record. It's like, you really have to search it out. And that was one thing why we wanted to go to a major label, because we felt that, like, the label we were on was a great label. It's always a great label. But when you feel that you're not really going to reach many new people and there's still so much ground to be conquered, it's either stay stagnant and, like, you know, continue speaking to the same, you know, same amount of people, or to, like, try to gain some new fans. And you know, we totally will always appreciate our old fans and you know, do everything we can to let them know.
I think,
but
a lot of the old fans feel betrayed.
Screw those old fans.
I know what that's like, too, you know, because I definitely know what it's like to be someone who, you know, something is, some band is totally personal to you, and you're like, oh, you know, this is my band, you know, this is something that, and then, like, all of a sudden, hey, I just discovered, you know, so-and-so band, you know, this is a new band. It's like, no, they're not. They've been around for 6 years. Well, this is what I say to that. You know, music is not an elitist art form. Music belongs to it belongs to everyone. You know, it's not like, you know, anything doesn't belong to you. It's like, it's music. Bottom line, if it's good songwriting, everyone deserves to hear it. And the bottom line is, if we can turn some people who, you know, that what they listen to on a daily basis is, like, you know, bad new metal bands, or, like, you know, just bad pop music, I would be really happy that they would try to check out our music and hopefully get something positive from it. And that's really all I want to achieve at the end of the day, is to hopefully get a positive message out to the world and, you know, maybe do something good.
All right, well, it was well said, Drew.
Thank you, sir.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk to some chicks. Have we talked to any women tonight?
There is one woman on the board here.
What's it say?
But it's time for a break. We'll try to clean it up a little bit.
Let's clean it up. Let's see if we can knock the sacks off the board and put the vulvas on there.
Yeah.
All right?
Yeah.
All right, the Ataris are here. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. He's back there in Los Angeles along with the Ataris. The CD is So Long Astoria, out on Tuesday. And then tomorrow night, going to be at the, what the hell are they going to be?
The Troubadour.
That's right.
Free release party.
Troubadour in
Hollywood. Free show, and then a record signing at the Troubadour tomorrow night.
Columbia is buying everyone drinks. So.
Yes, Adam. a record signing.
I'm just playing.
Well, CD, whatever you kids are calling.
We know it's
days.
Out on LP too.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They did the vinyl. Yep. I have vinyl in my trunk right now. If you want one.
Wow. Adam, you sure keep vinyl in the trunk, it always warp.
That's true. Yeah. It's kind of warm today too. I might want to check it.
I was telling Drew last week what a loser family the Corollas were. That my dad used to check out records from the library. And if you really, I mean, just think about what kind of human being. And not, you know, he wasn't 19. The guy was in his 40s and would go check out records from the library. First off, you know what kind of condition those records are in, especially after my dad left it in his 61 VW out in the San Fernando Valley? But, two, what kind of loser do you have to be an adult and you can't even afford a goddamn record? Back then, they were like 99 cents.
You have to be a loser.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, like, when you're a kid, you don't think much of it. Like, you're 9 years old, your dad's checking out a Herb Alpert record from the North Hollywood Library, and you're thinking, eh, that's kind of cool, they're giving him that. But now you get a little older, and you're like, wow, loser. Pops was a loser. All right, and I say that with all confidence, knowing that he goes to bed at... He told me he gets up at 4 a.m., he told me this the other day,
nice.
So... He's now going to bed at probably like 6:30 in the evening, and eventually, I've done some math, if he lives to 83, he's going to actually go back a day.
But that's what happens.
It's going to be Wednesday the 15th for us, it'll be Tuesday the 14th for my dad.
But these older folks do get something called a sleep-wake reversal. They start sleeping a day and wake all night, like your
dad. Yeah, but, no, I understand,
he's going to go all the way back, and actually... Turn the calendar back. He's going so far back.
He will actually do what Superman did when he spun the world counterclockwise. That's what my dad will do.
Finally, the Corollas establish a talent. Okay.
Yeah, and if that a-hole could go into the future, he'd be of some use to me. We could gamble on Super Bowls, and we'd go down to the track. We'd already know who won.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
All right, Jackie's 20.
Hi, I just had a question about birth control.
Yeah.
I've never been on it before, and I was wondering, because I'm kind of susceptible to mood swings, and so my fiancé and I were getting married in June, and I need to get on birth control, and I was just wondering if there's any sort of birth control that would be best for that sort of thing.
Do you have a diagnosis?
No, it's nothing like that. It's just like my body chemistry is just...
Is it more around the premenstrual time?
Yeah.
Well, A, sometimes the birth control pills make that better.
Really?
Yeah, it sort of stabilizes things. B, if you really have premenstrual dysphoric disorder, the serotonin reuptake inhibiting antidepressants are what are advocated for that, would work for that. So you ought to consider getting treated for that. And whether you, I see up on the board here, you want to know whether the patch is better than the oral pills.
Yeah.
It's the same hormones going through your system. But I will tell you that some women are more sensitive to the estrogen and some are more sensitive to the progesterone. In general, women tend to have more negative mood associated with progesterone.
Okay.
So you probably shouldn't take the Depo-Provera shot or anything like that.
Okay.
But you may have to monkey around and experiment to find the one that works for you.
Well, okay. Why are you getting married so early?
Because I found the right man.
Yeah.
That's not
what
a,
my mom thought, too, and that she saw him going down to the library to get records.
No.
How old's your fiancé?
He's 23. We've been dating for about 2 years.
All right. Yeah, we just. Yeah.
What does he do?
I'm a student, and so is he.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. What are you going to study?
I'm studying economics and business.
All right.
Well, that's good. But, I mean, the whole part of marriage, like, aren't you supposed to finish school and then...
Well, I mean, I'm a junior, so I only have a year left, and we figure we can do it for
you. You know, Adam, I wonder if the instability in the world is causing people to sort of come together more early.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wonder if they're reacting to that.
We're in Salt Lake City, Utah, so it's pretty normal here.
That's it.
Okay, good times.
Yep, I'll tell you, the terrorists know that if they hit Salt Lake City, we're not going to care that much. Like, the rest of the country's going to be like, yeah, well, all right, screw those polygamists.
It's also the one place where they're not getting the whole world ethnicities.
You know what I'm saying? Right.
You pretty much got one thing, and that's it.
See, that's the whole thing. See, that's my thing. That's why I know L.A. is safe, because you blow up L.A., you get your own.
It's Saigon.
You're not everything. You think you're getting a bunch of blue-eyed white people? Hell no.
No.
You're killing the rest of the world. I mean, you got Ethiopia and Mexico over here.
Khmer Rouge
is camped
there.
you're going to get everything but white.
A couple
white folks in like
London's
the Palisades,
kind of that way too.
But that's about it.
All right, this is Ricky, 17.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
I'm uncircumcised, and I also have a friend who is uncircumcised, and he told me when he had sex with his girlfriend that the foreskin pulled on where it was attached to the head, and he said it hurt him really bad. And I was just wondering, like, I don't want this to happen to me, and
so,
I'm sort of worried about it.
First of all, it doesn't often happen, but that is one of the sort of risks of having a foreskin, is that things can tear. And then when they tear, when it heals up, it tends to scar down and make it even more difficult for the head to come out of the foreskin. But why don't you just put a condom on, and that kind of takes all that away.
Yeah, he said it did feel better when he put a condom on.
All right, you should be using a condom anyway. You're 17, for God's sakes. What's the deal?
Well, I don't know. I'm a virgin, but I'm really close. It's going to happen any minute now. So.
Sure.
Like any minute?
Condom.
Any day.
Condom, right?
Well, okay. Wait, how do you know it's going to happen any minute?
Well, any day, he said. Any minute.
Well, I have a girlfriend, and it's getting pretty close.
Where are you from, right, Ricky?
I'm outside Chicago, suburb.
Is that where you grew up?
Yeah.
All right. All right.
Nice. Sounds
like Boston. Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Take care of that foreskin, buddy.
Yeah, Chicago can sound that way too.
Sometimes. Well, obviously. Okay, this is Susie, 14.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. I want to know if you could still be pregnant after 2 tests and they say they're negative.
How many weeks after the conception?
It'd be 3 months.
No. Well, I mean, there is such a thing, but
I think it might be 3 months.
Yeah, if it's much more than a month, it's very unlikely. I mean, very unlikely. Did I hear a smoke detector go off in the background?
No,
there?
She's got a radio on her.
No.
My smoke detector's broken.
See?
Man, you got great ears.
Adam?
No, wait a minute. It's not broken. It needs a battery, right?
I don't really care. Kind of wakes up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
I know, but doesn't it need a battery? Isn't it making the chirp that says it needs a battery?
Yeah.
That's why they put that little feature on those
things. Hold on here. We'll hear it again in about 20 seconds or so.
And it'll go off again.
Yeah, we know that.
I went to my sister's house, and it was going off on her house.
You didn't jump out the window or anything?
I freaked out, and I left. Told her, I can't believe she's related.
Adam.
It was loud, too.
Well done.
I suspect if my dad had smoke detectors in his home
there
growing
it is. You
up,
heard it?
He would have had this,
heard it?
Too.
Yeah, just yeah. Went, no. Just went
you on. You guys hear it?
Yeah, I heard it.
Yeah, is this... This is not a good sign, by the way. Do you live at home, Susie? Are your parents home?
Oh yeah, they're like sleeping.
Well, Susie,
they don't want to. Hold on a second. I got some smoke detector
questions.
Just
real quick though, you can put the whole thing to rest if she goes to Planned Parenthood and gets a blood test, okay?
Uh-huh.
And by the way, if she's not having periods for 3 months, that needs to be figured out why that's not happening.
Also, on your way to Planned Parenthood, you swing by the Home Depot and get a 9-volt battery, would you, screwball?
Oh, okay.
Oh,
and I'll get a battery.
And what room is this smoke detector in?
My room.
It's in your room.
Yeah.
About 10 more seconds. We'll hear it again here. Sorry. Turn the radio down first of all, though, Susie. Right? There it goes. You heard
there
it?
Yeah,
I heard it.
Okay, and you can sleep with that.
Yeah.
She said it wakes her up in the middle of the night.
Sometimes.
But I think there's reptiles that would drive insane. You know what I mean? Like,
no
I think if you put, like,
happened.
An iguana in a room and you had that thing chirp every 34 seconds, the iguana would eventually kill itself.
Mm.
I can never get past this, Drew. It makes you more animal than human.
But 1 out of 10 of our callers has this going on.
I
mean, it's unbelievable.
What's that?
I know.
The smoke detectors that need a battery.
Oh, really? I was like back on the pregnancy thing.
We have that too. But we got to take a break.
No, I'm not done with the smoke detector.
We'll start right up here where we left off. We will start right again with smoke detectors.
Oh, man.
Writing myself a note, all right?
All right. All right.
We'll be back.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. I'm out here in Wilmington, North Carolina, home of Dawson's Creek. And Drew's going to come out here and join me tomorrow, and then we'll broadcast from Wilmington. Actually, I'm here at the studio where they do Dawson's Creek, and Drew, you'll see it tomorrow night.
Cool.
The Ataris are in studio back in L.A. CD is called So Long, Astoria, and it is out Tuesday. They're going to be at the Troubadour tomorrow night doing a free concert at 10 o'clock and then signing those CDs after that. So
that's right.
You can get in on that. Drew.
And we're talking smoke detectors.
Oh, yeah.
No, wait a minute. Now I'm done with smoke detectors.
No, I'm just getting ahead of steam here.
All right. Well, I want to talk smoke detectors, but Anderson told me you're still pimping those Girl Scout cookies.
Yeah, it's working well.
Oh, yeah.
It's going nice.
Still out of Samoa.
It's going very nicely.
But I thought to myself as Anderson was saying that, have times changed? I mean, parents didn't used to do this stuff for their kids, did they?
My parents have always been really supportive with, like, you know, with not only, you know, buying instruments and always going out. Like, I'll tell you what, the one time I broke, I got my paper out when I was like 12, 13 years old, and I shattered not one glass window, but this lady had a glass door with shingles. The paper hit, the very top went down, shattered every shingle. You know, the first person that was out delivering my papers the next day, when I was scared to go out and do it, my father. He was out, I'll do it. And he went out and did it. But, you know, I don't know. Maybe some parents out there don't, but, you know.
Oh, am I going to kick my dad in the nuts the next time I see him?
For the records or for...
I think my mom did the Girl Scout thing back in the day.
Yeah.
But were they outselling, you know... hundreds of boxes of cookies? Did this stuff go on in the past? Drew, your parents wouldn't have done this for you, would they have?
No. But it's kind of fun.
It's fun?
Yeah, it's kind of fun.
It's fun putting your friends and coworkers on the spot.
That's the thing, the intimidation.
Yeah, it's very fun.
Yeah, you look like a jackass because they're like, how many boxes can I put you down for? And you're like, I guess two. Two? Oh, yeah. Come on. Stu over in accounting bought 30 boxes. Now, come on, buddy, ante up.
Just,
and people
just to
do
see
it.
The smiles of joy and satisfaction on everyone's face when they actually put those cookies in their mouth.
No, but, Drew, people. Here's the problem, too, is people, if they know you make pretty good coin, then they do it like they do the same thing they do that the jewelers have done to us.
Yeah.
This, you know, it's like, well, 2 months' salaries, that's a good point for how much you should spend on Girl Scout cookies.
Guitars are eating the Do-Si-Dos right now.
All right. Did they pay for them, Drew?
Yeah, of course.
The man, he walked in the door. He walked by and seen it.
Accountant's daughter. Hey, so the smoke detector thing. Adam,
yes.
Listen. Okay.
Yes.
So there's this huge campaign, it's particularly in California, to get the smoke detectors in every room and every house and stuff. What the hell good does that do if people's smoke detectors aren't operating? And yet we have to sit through hours and hours and hours every day of secondhand smoke ads. And God only knows how many more lives could be saved by actually having functioning smoke detectors in people's homes.
That's right.
Well, think of the secondhand smoke you take in when your sofa's on fire.
That's right. That's what I'm saying.
That's my angle. Yeah, and you know, it's so funny because they used to, I think Gilbert Godfrey used to do the voice of the smoke detector. Right. He has the market cornered on like toaster ovens and all small appliances.
Appliances, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But now there needs to be, he needs to do the voice of a 9-volt battery.
Yeah.
Saying like, I'm lonely, I'm tired,
save your life, replace
me.
The guys that did the I'm Just a Bill on Capitol Hill song need to do a battery song.
That's right. What the hell song you're talking about?
The Conjunction Junction.
All right.
And another thing that was funny too is that caller we spoke to with the smoke detector, she's like, yeah, it's broken. It's like, no, it's not broken. It worked just fine.
She had the same attitude about whether she thought she was pregnant 3 months later.
It's like, look, I'm pregnant, but if I was pregnant, my kid would burn up in a fire. But, you know, meanwhile, you know, definitely.
All right, everybody, get up there. You know what it is? I'll tell you the problem with the smoke detector. Here's the problem. It's on the ceiling, and nobody can get to it. This is what happens. I've just stood, you just stare at it for long periods of time, and then eventually you get pissed off and take a mop to it.
Right.
People need to get a little step ladder and a 9-volt battery, put themselves out of the pain, or we need to start, and they always tell you, put it at the highest point in the room, but let's just compromise and put it at the 4-foot level.
Right.
And I mean, just stick it on the wall. Mm-hmm. I guarantee if people could get to it, they would change this battery.
I make a point of going around and changing ours, but I swear to God, they don't test right, something's wrong always. I end up taking it off, unscrewing it, throwing it in a drawer.
All right. I mean, Drew? You're just as bad as our callers.
But I mean, I try, but they don't work right. They don't. It's always something kind of funky about them.
Why don't you put one of those Samoas in there in place of the 9-volt battery?
Then people will definitely go up there.
Well, let's just try different cookies, see which one actually creates a current. Nice.
Yeah. All right.
All right. Let's start with something with the band. Chris, 19.
Hi. I was just wondering, I wanted to ask Chris a question.
Okay.
You said that.
So happy to hear from you.
Okay. I have a quote here from you saying that you're a band that exists solely for the purpose of your fans.
That's right.
And, I saw you guys, actually saw you with a really good friend of mine back in Denver few months ago. And a really good friend of mine, actually, you jumped in the crowd and kicked her right in the head, and she had to get 20 stitches. And then you made a real cool comment about it afterwards, and we were just wondering if we could maybe get an apology, because we've tried to write you, we've tried to write your record company, and
no,
I'm just trying to see. I mean, if you exist solely for the purpose of your fans, we just want to know that you really feel bad about that.
Well, here's the thing: it's like, if this really happened, I would have assumed you probably would have came up to me after the show and asked for an apology, and you would have. You know, made this clear then, but honestly, I don't think I've ever remember anything like that happening. But
that's a bit dramatic of a thing to happen.
Exactly,
not know about.
And if it was something you know that like that would have happened, of course we would have apologized. We would apologize right there to your friend's face. But honestly, I don't remember jumping in a show in Denver because if I remember correctly, that was one show on the tour where I think the crowd was actually kind of sedate, and I would have never jumped in the crowd. Yes, I have jumped in the crowd at time to time, but yeah, that was like a big theater and there's like a lot of seating, and so I definitely don't remember jumping in the crowd of that show. But
regardless if that happened or not, I mean, you know, what kind of comment is that? You're not for the fans because you didn't apologize to a girl that got kicked
like,
in the head.
I'm the first guy that's like every night after we play a show, I'm out there talking to our fans, signing things every night. And honestly,
you know, Adam, you'll agree with me on this. Maybe you guys are kowtowing too much to your fans.
Yeah, no, that's definitely something.
You need to set some limits with people because you know what? They don't own you, and you are there for everyone to enjoy. And the people that think that they have proprietary privilege over you guys should go to hell.
You're totally right, man. I mean, you're totally right in the sense that, like, man, I think we care too much about people, and that's why it's like when I read something or see something where somebody like actually says like, "Oh, sell out this or that," and it's like, man, I take that really personally because me, I'm just a huge fan of music, and I'm that kid that was out behind the club waiting to get something signed from a band, and the one time when a band wasn't like really polite to me, I really took it seriously. But then I realized that like, yeah, there was one instance, like I was in New Jersey and I was in the toilet and this kid kept coming in, like actually trying to walk into the stall. He's like, "Hey man, it's Chris Rowe from the Ataris," and I'm just like, "Dude, come on, I'll sign your stuff when I'm done using the bathroom."
Hey, Chris, Adam, give him a little primer here,
seriously.
Will you? Adam? Oh, we lost him. Well, the way Adam, he got probably so upset about this, because here's what Adam does, because people come up with that stuff to him all the time.
Yeah.
His comment immediately to them is, beat it.
What do I owe you?
Yeah. I think it's hard.
Everyone knows he's an A-hole.
You definitely open some good doors and some bad doors when you give so much back to your fans. I mean, granted, you kind of tear down a wall where...
Go ahead and give it back, but set limits with it. Yeah, you know what I mean? The people are getting out of control. They need to be kind of put back in place a little bit, a little reality testing here and there. It's like, look, you guys are, you love doing music, you like reaching lots of people.
That's
you're like communicators. You're providing something for lots of people.
You know something? Matter of fact, I do remember that happening, but it was not. She, if I'm not mistaken, it was crowd surfers that came in, and she hit her head on the rail.
Uh-huh.
And I remember her boyfriend, we offered to take him to the hospital.
Oh, man. No,
I totally remember that. I mean,
random.
That is random. We totally apologized to that guy up down and offered him, because he was in disarray,
I remember him being very upset.
He had blood all over his shirt. I remember personally asking him if he needed something.
Is there something you might have said jokingly in front of the crowd that he took the wrong way?
No. I would never make a crack about somebody's expense. Well, then here, if I apologize that we didn't take your girlfriend to the hospital or that we didn't, you know, go even the extra mile.
We did acknowledge it, and I remember that guy.
But go ahead and give the apology.
We're sorry. Is the Ataris, we're sorry.
Yes, we don't want that kind of stuff happening.
We don't want
our shows ever.
Yeah, exactly.
And specifically to them, so they get it.
Yeah, specifically to the people in Denver. And we're coming back to Denver. And if it was such a, if to make amends, I will personally put you on the guest list to the show. You can stand on the stage
and watch the show.
Totally watch the show from the show.
How do they get in touch with you?
Well, they can call back in here, or they can. I tell you what, you can
email me at john@ataris.com, john@ataris.com.
There you go.
That's fine.
You're going to get a million people.
That's fine.
Think our fans are
the delete button works good.
Exactly. Right. But just say you're the kid from Denver that called in when we were on Loveline.
Having done all that now, it was not the best way to set limits with your fans.
Well, I agree with you. But
it shows where you guys are at.
We go the extra mile.
All right, here's Mara, 17.
Why stop? Because of one person.
Hey, Mara.
Oh, I'm bummed. Adam disappeared.
Hang on. I'll put you on hold until he gets back. Hold on a second. This is something more up my alley. Steve, 18.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Hello.
Would like to tell Adam I like him a lot, but I guess he's gonna.
He's listening.
Yeah. The Ataris, you guys rock, too.
Thanks a lot.
I had unprotected anal and vaginal sex.
Good times.
With a woman who had HPV.
Mm-hmm.
So, Drew, how do I know if I'm going to get that or how will it affect me?
How do you know she had it?
She told me she had it. She had cervical dysplasia. And
why didn't you put a condom on?
I don't know.
And did she tell you after?
Did you have vaginal then anal?
Yes.
She's actually got more to be worried about than you, because that virus is associated with anal cancer as well as cervical cancer.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
You definitely have it. You should assume you have it. That's just, you know, once you've been, it's a highly contagious, even if she's been treated for it, she probably still has the virus. She's a 19-year-old also, 18-year-old?
She's 28.
28. So how long she had it for, does she know?
I don't know, maybe 7 years.
Well, so maybe it's possible it's burned out. It's possible you haven't got it, because most of the wart viruses do go away in about 3 to 5 years.
Uh-huh.
The ones that are associated with the cancers tend not to go away and stick around.
6 and 8 or something like that?
Yeah, there's different subtypes. And if she has that, then you got it. And you may have transmitted to her rear hinterlands, and that's a significant issue for her. And for you, you got to be careful, because you can transmit it to other people. For you, it's probably not going to be a damn thing. Probably. So there you go. This is now Aaron, who's 16.
Hey. Yes, my question. My boyfriend got in a car wreck about a year ago and died, and he's been like my best friend since I was born, pretty much.
Wow.
And I was on depression pills for a while, and it really didn't help me. I mean, I'm not, like, I wouldn't say I'm over it, but I'm kind of used to it. So I started dating again, but, like, after about 2 weeks of going out with someone, I just, like, the idea of being with them is just repulsive to me. I mean, I don't even want to be around anybody. Like, even to my friends, it kind of is that way. I just wonder, is there any way that I can, like, any stronger medication or anything that can help me, like...
Right, hold on.
Oh, no, I was going to say that someone I'm really close to, and I'll just, like, not mention, that, like, they've been through the same thing, and they actually had somebody that, one of their ex-boyfriends die in the same way in a car wreck. And I really don't know, as far as
medication goes. I know that they're not on any medication today, but I do know that, like, the best thing you can do is get out there and, like, you know, try to, like, you know, get some good friends, and as well as that, you know, try to continue dating, and where it may be hard to do that, it's something that, you know, I think you're definitely on the right path with that. You know, it's something that I don't think medication can cure, but I mean, maybe Dr. Drew can recommend something else. But
True. I'm back. No, are we talking about smoke detectors?
Yeah, smoke detectors. Good times.
Okay.
Now, we're talking about somebody who died recently. A girl has a boyfriend that died, and she's having trouble dating. And listen, Aaron, naturally enough, when you start getting back into a situation where the kinds of feelings that are evoked that you had with him, or you're comparing these people you're dating with him, all kinds of things can kind of flood your emotional systems.
Okay.
I think Chris is right. You got to get good friends around you, stay well connected with people. Keep going out there and trying to make relationships, and this is another part of the mourning process. It's the stuff that's incomplete sort of surfaces now, and if you really can't function because of it, that is the time to go see about getting some stronger antidepressants. It says you're on Celexa now, or you're not on?
I'm not on it anymore. I have a messed up family. That was another question I had. Is there a way that I can get any kind of depression medication without parental...
Are you in therapy at all?
Not anymore.
Well, you definitely need to do that, because I went through therapy when I was a child, you know, and, I mean, my parents were actually pretty, I mean, they weren't, I mean, we had some problems. My father was an alcoholic, and my parents, he got divorced, and they got back together later, and all I can say is, like, you know, going through, like, you know, group counseling as well as just regular, you know, one-on-one therapy was probably one of the things that kind of kept me level-headed through a lot of times when I could have turned to drugs and whatnot. And I definitely think that you got to lay off the whole wanting to get prescription drugs, and without, you know, an adult, you definitely try to look into, like, you know, getting some therapy. And, like, I think maybe, I don't know if your parents can help you do that, but...
Well, I don't live with my parents, and I'm not emancipated, so I can't really get their signature.
Who do you live with?
One of my friends.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but you can still go to... You're in Seattle or Washington, D.C.?
Seattle.
I mean, go to the University of Washington, go to the mental health services there at the Department of Psychiatry.
There's
tons of stuff out there that you can get access to, and I agree with, what you're hearing from the Ataris, which is don't look for the complete solution in a pill. That's just, that helps keep you safe, but really it's a little bit of real work would be in order here.
That's true.
Adam, you back?
Yeah, I've been back for a while.
All right, we were on a roll out here.
No, I know. That's all right. We're talking about something serious. I was trying to, you know, it's funny. We were down for 5 minutes, and our engineer out here, Alex, got us back going again, but... He was on the cell phone when we were back going, and he was talking upstairs with the door open, and I could hear him over the mic, so I threw my pen cap at him, and it landed at his feet, and he sort of looked at it for a while, like, I wonder where that pen cap came from, and then he kept talking, though. He never looked at me. Why throwing a pen cap at you, Alex? That's a sign. He thought it came off the ceiling. How unprofessional.
Oh, my God.
You're fired. Yeah, I was going to throw the pen, but I thought, what if it stabs him in the neck, and then I got to bury him out in the creek, out in Dawson's Creek.
Be a great episode. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, let's see what fine. I deal with every night,
every
Alex.
Night. Mara, 17. Mara wanted us to wait till you get back on the line, Adam. Mara.
Oh, good. What's up, Mara?
Sorry, Adam. You're like my hero. I had to wait. Anyways, okay. So my friend has been dating this guy for like a month now, and at first, like, we didn't really like him, but we kind of got used to him. You know, he started giving us rides to, you know, sweeten the deal or whatever. And
wait. You already lost me. Who is this guy?
This guy. My friend started dating. She's been dating.
Started dating a guy.
Girlfriend started dating a guy, and he started. What sweetened the deal?
No, he was giving him rides. He was just being nice, kissing up to him.
Yeah, he was trying to make us like him so we would say nice things to her, because he's, like, been crushing on her for three years.
Who's we?
There's, like, three of us, and we're all, like, best friends.
Okay,
so
all right.
Me and my other, yeah. Right. Anyways, and so then, like, recently I started hanging out with him, like, alone, because, you know, I just kind of, like, get along with guys better and stuff like that, and I just recently got a car, by the way, Adam. I named it after you. Anyways, and
you got a Corolla. She got a Corolla.
Yeah, it was already named after you.
You named your car after me?
Yeah.
Actually, the Nissan people did it for her.
Yeah, that's a Toyota.
I beg your pardon.
Did you get personalized plates?
All right. So you named your car Adam?
Yes, I did.
What kind of car is it?
It's a Toyota Corolla, 87.
Oh, all right. Makes sense.
Good time.
Yeah, you know, Adam Corolla.
Sounds more like your dad, Adam.
Yeah. All right, so you're not driving the Mr. Corolla, you're driving the Adam Corolla. All right, so yeah, and my dad's car, if you're driving his car, it only goes to the library to rent records. It's the only place you can drive it. So you now what? Do you start to like this guy or what?
No. So I've been hanging out with him alone, and then lately he's been starting to like, you know, flirt with me or whatever. And then last Friday got really bad. We were hanging out, and she wasn't there. And then he was like starting to like tickle me and like wrestle with me. And then he was like wanting to do massages.
How just for the to fill the picture out here? How old is this guy?
He's 18 and. I'm 17. Yeah.
And how old's the
other?
Why
are you spending so much time with him alone if you got the idea that he's into you?
Well, because I didn't know until Friday when it, like...
No.
I don't buy this whole...
Mara, why are you hanging out with him?
You like him.
No, God, no.
Maybe you like the attention.
Yeah.
Dude, what? I'm never a believer of the, I'm a girl, I have some guy friends, in quotations. It's like, no, doesn't happen. You know, I mean, maybe you think that, but like look at the guy. You know, you guys are all hanging out. It's like if the guy's like tickling you and all this stuff. It's like, man, it's like you got to either be like, hey, you know, you're friends with, you know, my good friend, and you definitely crossing a line, or you decide to tell your friend and go for it. Exactly. I mean,
or tell your friend what kind of an idiot this guy is.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the question is. Is this guy your friend's?
Do I tell her? Because I don't want her to get pissed off at me down the
okay,
road.
Okay, listen. Is this guy your friend's boyfriend?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Their boyfriend and girlfriend?
Yeah.
And they've been boyfriend and girlfriend for how long?
Like a month.
Ah, that's not...
And why is he spending so much time with you alone when he's her boyfriend?
That's what I don't understand.
Well, what does your friend say about this?
Well, at first she was like, I don't know about this, but then she was like, oh, well, you guys are just friends, and that's fine.
But who has this amount of time that, you know, all his free time is spent hanging out with you? I don't understand that. Is she away or something?
Well, she was grounded for like a week, and she doesn't have a car either, which I don't know. I mean, that doesn't really have too much to do with it. He would totally pick her up.
You got that spanking new 87 Adam Corolla you're tooling around in.
Exactly.
Okay, listen, Mara, you like this drama, or you like the attention, or you like him, or maybe it's all the above.
It's all that. Yeah. It's all flawed on Mara's part. Right?
Right.
Right.
Right. So
I would say,
if you really want this to go away, not cause any waves, and not get into trouble yourself, you just stop hanging out with the guy.
Then when your girlfriend says, I noticed you're not hanging with him so much, then you tell her why.
Yeah.
No,
but you don't say anything until then. No, you don't say anything until then.
You don't tell her then either. You just go, look, I've been busy. I mean, Adam needed a tune-up.
Yeah, but she needs to know what kind of difference
that's
guy
true
is.
Well, she said they were only dating for 1 month, too. And I know a month, like what, how 17 may seem like a long time, but I don't take it as like these people seem very serious. I mean, if they're all hanging out. I mean,
yes, and Mara's one of these people that chicks have this gene where they go, I really didn't want to have to tell you this, but I thought somebody should have to tell you. And then they relish telling their friend something good and horrible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you really want to avoid this situation, it's easily avoidable. But if you're looking for drama, you'll find that in any situation. And I think that's what Mara's doing.
There you go. All right. We got to take a break.
All right. Did we help her?
Oh, yeah. Well, she listens. She listens to your word as gospel, Adam.
No, okay. Yeah. I'm telling all women just to shut up. Just stop talking to your friends. Don't talk to us. Just stop talking. And don't get into the drama. Don't get into any of it. Just quiet down.
We'll be right back.
Yeah, what, Drew? Where are you going, buddy?
Commercial.
Well, listen, I was off the air for 4.5 minutes.
I know. When you get back, I want you to talk to the Ataris about setting limits with their fans, all right?
All right, I'm going to do that. And during the break, I'm going to throw an ashtray and a scotch tape dispenser to Engineer Alex, see if I can get his attention. All right, we'll be back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That is Dr. Drew. I'm over here in North Carolina. I'm doing Dawson's Creek this week. Drew is going to be out here and join me in North Carolina because it's a love line themed Dawson Creek that we're doing. And Drew, you read the script?
Yeah.
You got a good idea of what's going on?
Yeah, I'm presented rather nicely and multidimensionally, and you're sort of presented as a one-dimensional a-hole.
Yeah. Like I'm just chasing chicks.
Right,
and
exactly. Exactly. It was exactly what you'd expect.
Yeah.
You're going to love it.
All right. Well, we'll do some modifications.
I'm sure there will be a little
tomorrow.
Surgery. Yes, there will.
And then I'll pull out my great line that everyone hates when I explain to them. Listen, people, I'm saving you from yourself. Now give me a few minutes to rework this script. It's always they always take it just the way it was meant. All right, the Ataris are in studio tonight. So Long Astoria is the name of the CD. It is out Tuesday. They're going to be at the Troubadour tomorrow night on the fabulous Sunset Strip at 10 o'clock. They're doing a free show.
It's actually
and then
on
they're
Santa
going to
Monica
be signing
Boulevard.
Those CDs.
It's on Santa Monica Boulevard.
It's all right.
Oh, it's Troubadour. On Santa Monica. That's right.
Close enough.
You don't hang out down there?
Let's. We
you know what? I have been. You know, I think I saw the. No, that was at the Whiskey. That's right. Yeah, I've been to the Troubadour a bunch of times. I forgot it, though. It is.
No.
It is on Santa Monica. It should be on Sunset.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
There we go.
It's on, I think it's on like Doheny in Santa
You're
Monica.
You're exactly right.
Isn't it?
You're right.
All right.
But
where
we have, are no, we have another song to play. But before we go to the song So Long Astoria, did you hear the Atari's story of woe about their fans and how they kill themselves on behalf of their fans?
Yes.
And I said, look, you guys got to take a lesson from Adam how to set limits with fans. People come up to you, you know, they tell you you sold out and. You know, did you hear that call we got where a guy said his girlfriend got his head kicked in by Chris?
No, I didn't.
No, you
hear
missed
that.
All that. And Chris was like, I'm so sorry, I thought, no.
And I didn't even do it. It's like we find ourselves like, we definitely always.
They're like mea culpa for everything.
Right.
Including like living and making good music, that they shouldn't be allowed to do that, lest someone else might hear it.
Yeah.
And I thought,
yeah, boys, you got to get past that.
Yeah.
Beat it. Realize, you know, you have thousands and thousands of fans, so you lose a couple. You know what I mean? That's number one. You gotta look at it as like you're a general and these fans are your infantry. And a couple guys step on a landmine. Hey, it's a sad day, but so be it. The army has to keep marching on. That's
so
what
should
I'm
they
saying.
Say to their fans when they come up to them and you know, yeah. that events and things bother
well,
them?
Well, you know, here's the thing that's funny that if they're complaining about selling out or you guys not being punk rock or hardcore enough, you telling them to beat it or you'll kick their ass is as hardcore a thing as you can do. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well,
you get more fans with that attitude.
I guess,
love that.
I guess I kind of like I'm always been quite the opposite. It's like, you know, our whole philosophy is to like just to try to go the complete extreme and just try to like take everything and every situation with our band. It's like, you know, we go the extra mile to like try to tear down that barrier, because for me, you know, I always hated it when bands acted kind of like rock starish and like I mean if you make yourself really easily accessible and you just go right out at the start of the show and the end of the show and just sign everyone's stuff, and then people really understand that you really, you know, go out and take that extra amount of time, and I don't think they act as freakish as if you make yourself very reserved.
Yeah, that is a great strategy, except for when the band starts becoming more and more popular and you're playing bigger and bigger venues and selling more and more records, there's more and more people to deal with. Eventually, you just can't. You know, you can't reply to every email yourself. You can't sign every CD and every T-shirt yourself. I mean, it's noble that's what your idea is, but ultimately, if you get to a certain level, it becomes mathematically impossible.
No, I agree. Yeah,
exactly.
It's definitely, you know, where we used to write in our CD, we respond to every letter, then we would get letters like, when are you coming to Iowa? And it's like, okay, you know, there's a line you have to cross, and definitely, you know, we still go out of our way to, like, try to at least read and let people know that we listen to every demo and whatnot, but, you know, we cannot respond to, the like, just something like that, you know? It's like,
yeah, and there's always a one person that will be like, you know, hey, you're for the fans, but you didn't say hi to me. You walked away, you know, after I saw Chris out there for 2 hours freezing or something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, then, you know, it's like there are cases, though. There have been a couple freaky people. And I will just real quickly share. Well, there was one, like, when we were first starting out, you know, we've been together about 6.5 years.
We used to list our actual old apartment address in the CD when we first started out, and that was we didn't go out and buy a P.O. box. And these kids from Brazil showed up, and like, you know, we're like, hey, what's that? And there's like this group of six Brazilians on our doorstep at like 6 in the morning. We are here from Brazil to see the Ataris. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, no. So, but, you know, and then we had a guy, actually our good friend David, who's in this band, Simple Plan now. We kind of like met that guy. We were on tour up in
Quebec.
And we kind of gave a guy, you know, we're like, oh, it's cool. You know, we'll give the guy a ride to a couple shows. And then a month later, he ended up showing up on our doorstep too. He's like, I came from Montreal to stay with you. And we're like, no, you're not, you know, but, yeah, I hear what you're saying, you know, you can't.
Wow, wow, you can't, and you guys are like the United Nations, you got Montreal people, the Brazil people showing up.
Yeah, well.
Good accents, by the way.
Oh, thank you very much, it's my, you know.
So let's go ahead and hear that song, shall we?
Oh.
Yeah, what song is that, Drew?
So Long Astoria.
It's a title track, yeah.
Title cut, and a good song, guys.
Thank you very much.
Chris and, and Johnny are in the studio back in L.A. I'm out here in North Carolina, and Drew's going to join me for a little Dawson's Creek week up here, and hopefully a little time for us, Drew.
Yeah, I as you were speaking those words, I thought to myself, oh, thank God I didn't have to fly with Adam. Thank God.
I got a lot of talking saved up for you, Drew.
No, I have no doubt about it. Actually, I'm kind of looking forward to the house talk.
Oh, yeah. Drew and I got to talk about house. I got to complain about the family.
Well,
we got
a lot of
catching up.
That's the part you seem to perseverate on planes about your mother, and I skipped that part.
We're going to take a nice walk down to Dawson's Creek. Maybe we'll do a little skinny dipping. Huh? Born gay.
The life is to live gay.
All right. So, anyway, Tari's in studio tonight. They're going to be at the Troubadour tomorrow night at 10 o'clock. Free show right on Santa Monica and Doheny. All right, so take a call.
Yeah, Tabitha 14.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, I have a question about giving head. I, like, for the first time Friday night, I gave a guy head, and I was just, like, wondering what the guy's opinion was about, like, spitting and swallowing, what they thought was hotter for a girl to do.
Hotter?
Yeah.
You're 14, Tabitha.
I know, it was the first time.
Right. Yeah, but shouldn't you be worried about, like, Barbie's dream Winnebago or something like that at 14?
Or worry about protecting yourself from STDs and things? But
oh, yeah,
I just
yeah,
wanted to get
yeah.
some dick.
Maybe use a condom with these things so there's no spitting or swallowing.
Who was the fella that produced whatever you spat or swallowed?
His name is Johnny.
No.
Johnny?
Not
the Atari?
What was his relation to you?
What?
What was his relation to you?
Just a friend.
Somebody your age?
Yeah.
14.
Yeah.
But he's not your boyfriend.
No. Got what I need.
Do you like him?
Yeah.
Does he like you?
I think so.
Okay. Well, shouldn't you? Well, I mean, just for the future, we'll get to the spitting and the swallowing thing, but shouldn't you maybe go out on a few dates with the guy and that kind of thing first?
I'm not allowed to date.
Oh, parents are strict.
Oh.
See, this is the whole backwards part.
Hang on a second.
I appreciate that.
Note to self. I've got to take some notes
encourage
on this one.
Encourage dating.
Exactly. You know, it's like the whole preacher's kid theme where, you know, it's like you've got all these kids who grow up with parents that don't talk to them and they totally, you know, discourage them to date and do whatever. But those are the first kids that are going to go out and they're going to drink. They're going to experiment with, like, promiscuity. They're going to do all these things. And I know that because my parents talked to me and they set me down. Their first one's like, if you need condoms, here they are. You know, if you want to drink, you know, you're gonna definitely learn from it. And I hope you learn from my mistakes. And, you know, I think that, you know, I mean, what the heck am I saying here?
just that this is an example
good.
Of yeah,
well,
parents
thank
being,
you, but.
Being restrictive in some respects, but not being honest enough.
Yeah, I mean, but I don't.
Well, what happened? What did you do? Did you swallow or spit?
Oh man.
Swallow.
Oh baby.
What did you? I mean, not to be disgusting, but I mean, I guess it's probably appropriate on the show right now. No offense. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know. What'd you think of the taste? I mean, you know, I had to ask, you know.
What?
What did you?
What do you give?
Did
the
you
taste?
Find it repulsive, or like, you know, when you swallowed?
Yeah.
No. Whatever happened to just being a kid these days?
Yeah, exactly. All right, here's the deal, Dab. Doing that to a guy is not going to make him like you. It may make him stick around a little bit, but he's using you just so you'll do this to him. Whether you spit or swallow does not matter. The guy is delighted that you're doing this, but to your sort of spiritual well-being may be impacted by all this. And if you decide to go down this path, please use a condom because you can get STDs from this just like you can from any kind of sex. It's oral sex, you get STDs.
Drew, swallowing
more likely to give you trouble.
Than spitting.
Yes, because it's the stomach and the lower esophagus where things like hepatitis C and HIV probably penetrate.
Okay.
All right.
Because, and listen, this guy, I know we got to go to break, but just let me give this speech real quickly. you don't need to swallow it. You just need to receive it and transport it and get rid of it.
Right. It doesn't have
That's
to be
really what
Otherwise, you're just transporting to the stomach.
Yeah.
Yeah, it just needs to be transported to the toilet or the sink or the potted plant or the dog's dish, wherever it goes, just as long as they take it away. It's like the garbage. Just come pick it up. I don't care if you dump it in a landfill or the ocean. Just get it off my goddamn driveway. That's what I think. Get the semen off my driveway. That's my message to all the girls listening.
Hey, good times, right?
Yeah, hey, good times. And where were these girls when I was...
that's what I was thinking.
I was going to say high school, but junior high, for Christ's sake.
Well, when I was 14...
Oh, we got to move to Canada.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take Indiana.
We'll take a little break. The Ataris are in studio tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Love Line. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Chris and Johnny are here from the Ataris. So Long Astoria, name of the CD, coming out Tuesday, and Troubadour tomorrow, 10 o'clock. All right, let's get to a few more calls here, Drew.
All right, here's Ignacio, 16.
Hi, you asleep?
No, I'm right here.
You've been waiting a long time. Like I saw your call up there.
An hour or so. What's up?
Yeah. I've been with my girlfriend for like a year already, and probably like 4 months ago we started having sex, and the thing is that her parents found out that we're having sex, and now they don't let me see her.
How old is she?
15.
And how'd they find out?
She told one of her ninas or something.
Her what?
She trusts.
Her ninas?
Brother. Little brother or sisters?
Yeah. Nah, her nina.
The sisters.
Yeah, whatever.
What's the... What do you mean the Nina? You mean the little sister?
No, like her mom's friend or something like that.
Is her friend's name Nina?
No, that's what she calls her. That's what she calls her though. Her Nina.
Is that her godmother?
Street slang.
Yeah.
Godmother.
Yeah, she's a ghetto girl.
All right, so she told her Nina.
Yeah.
And her Nina then went and told the Pinto, and then the Santa Maria found out. And all hell
Ignacio seriously smokes pot.
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. He smokes a lot of pot. You hear that laugh?
He didn't even know he was on the phone that long.
Oh, yeah. Ignacio.
He's like, what?
What's up?
He's high right now.
Oh, man.
Yeah, your bumming is high, Drew.
So, question: Do the parents do they like you as a person at all, or her parents?
Yeah, they did. Like they would always have me at her house, like eating shit and kicking it.
Oh yeah, but because it was about the pot thing. I didn't know if they didn't like you or because of that or whatnot. You know.
Oh no, they don't know. I mean, they.
Yeah, no. How could anybody tell, Ignacio?
Exactly.
It's impossible.
I talked to you for 1 minute. I knew you were a total stoner, for God's sakes.
Well, my wife, one of her little brothers went through a similar thing, and I kind of told him that, you know, it's like, well, because I know that I've been in that position in the past too. It's like, you know, if you really like someone, you know, you're gonna continue to try to keep seeing them, even if the parents say, you know, say against it. And you know, how long have you guys been going out for?
For like a year.
Ah, well then, you know, I definitely
yeah, so
know
what,
you're from.
Yeah, what are you going to do? Does she want to keep seeing you?
Yeah, she does.
And are you guys using protection?
Yeah, we use protection.
What do you use?
That's good.
Trojans.
Good times?
Life Trojan.
That's right. Good answer.
I like this guy.
Drew gets 5 cents for each time someone mentions Trojan.
Trojan.
Yeah, well, thank you, guys.
And his daughter gets $2,500 for every metric ton of those cookies.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, how much do you get after you mentioned Girl Scouts 1,000 times in here?
That's right.
I want people to send some Girl Scout cookies to my house, to my mother's house, my father's house.
Well, Drew, what you got to start saying, you got to start mixing it in, saying that, you know, those Girl Scouts got to use the Trojan condom. Well, I don't know. This is just off the top of my head.
I think Ignacio needs some Girl Scout cookies.
No, I think it's they're having a new mint flavored condom, so people are encouraged to use it for oral sex, and we kind of equate it with the thin mints that the Girl Scouts use.
Oh, man.
Smart, Drew.
Yeah.
Genius. That's
the girls are all wearing helmets too.
See,
on the box, there's a picture of girls rather. So
that's what you call synergy, Drew.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, so I don't know what Ignacio needs to do. Ignacio needs to stop smoking so much weed.
maybe have a sit down with the family.
Yeah,
try and work something out.
That sounds like a cool idea.
He can lay low for a couple of weeks.
If this family really likes,
let things cool down.
Sorry.
If they really like him, yeah.
Yeah, if her family really likes you, man, I think that, you know, and they're really kind of as cool as you seem to let on that they are, and, you know, I think that you could probably maybe be lucky enough to be able to talk to their parents and try to work something out. And
I don't know. Maybe they would respect that even more because, you know, I mean, 16, it's like I think that they are probably open to know that kids at 16 are having sex. And I think that, you know, as long as they know you guys are using protection and maybe you guys can both sit down.
Or at least you could say, hey, okay, we understand you didn't approve of this. We'll try to and we'll stop this.
Yeah.
If it's important just to have a relationship with those parents. And
especially if you got on a year. I mean, because at 16, I think, you know, that shows that you guys are trying to, like, have a relationship. And it definitely, I think you're down the right track. But yeah lay off the pot, though.
Yeah, well, smoke up with the parents.
Yeah, there you go. Right. Be like, hey, man, I just bought this big bag of weed. Let's hook it up.
Here's Alex, 17. Alex?
Oh, yeah. Hi. I actually wanted to thank you guys, Chris and John and Kate and Mike, because in a way you guys kind of, like, saved my life, in a way.
How's that?
What happened?
Because I was, like, really suicidal, and I was drinking a lot, and I was into cocaine and crystal for a while. And, I broke up with my boyfriend, and my friends weren't there for me, and the music, the Ataris, was the only thing that was there for me. And then I went to the free show, the video shoot.
Yeah, right.
And I talked to Chris, and what he said to me, like, I was about to, like, kill myself, and, like, I saw a sticker he had signed for me, a big-ass picture that you guys had at the show.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I just remembered what you said, and, like, I stopped. I didn't do it.
I remember talking to you before I went out and talked, like, all the kids were waiting to go into the video shoot, and I just, like, I felt, man, this must be monotonous for everyone to be sitting out here in this big room, and I was like, I'll just go out and talk to everybody. Actually, I totally remember talking to you, and not, like, because I came out and sat in the seats with everybody. But no,
well, that's what I was telling Chris earlier. You're only as good as your fans are, and each and every one of them is an individual. You have to take the time to get to know them all on a personal level.
That was your direction. Yeah, that was your direction, yeah. I believe.
Did you hear me say that earlier?
Yeah. Alex?
I see.
Yeah, so it was kind of, I get some credit here too for encouraging the band.
Alex, that's great. Keep taking care of yourself, all right?
Yeah, and I just really want to thank Chris and the whole band, actually, because you guys, it's not just one person. And I just remember you saying that you were, like, living in your van and that you never gave up, and that it just really helped me. And even though you guys didn't know me, you were, like, the only ones there to help me.
Well, I totally appreciate that. Yeah,
thank you.
I mean,
well, that's nice.
That's one thing. It's like, we know, we definitely, you know, we've all been through hard times, and that's one thing that we want to translate to our fans. It's like, when I first moved to Santa Barbara, I was homeless. I didn't have a penny in my name, and I, you know, I tried to work through it. And I definitely know that there's always a lot out there to look past and just what you see in every day-to-day life. And I think that, you know, that it just takes a really big person to, like, try to search out and find that. And I think that, you know, just keep looking for something bigger and better. And I think that, you know, that's all you really have in life.
We'll be back with the Ataris after this.
Hey, Drew. Hey, Drew, close up shop for me, would you, buddy?
Can I call you or no?
You can call me on my cell, yeah. I got a long drive back to the creek.
See you tomorrow afternoon, right?
All right. All right,
good time.
Thanks, guys.
Tell Vanderbeek we said what's up.
All right.
Later.
That about does it. The Ataris. Thanks, guys, for coming in here.
Thank you.
Upcoming tour dates, Chicago on the 30th of March, Denver on the 4th of April, Portland the 8th of April, San Diego 12th of April, Anaheim 15th, New York.
Conan O'Brien on the 14th of March.
Conan O'Brien on the 14th. And tomorrow night at the Troubadour, 10 p.m. free show and a CD signing to follow. Troubadour tomorrow night, 10 o'clock.
Can I give a quickie just to say thanks to my sister, Deanna, and my brother-in-law for camping out tonight and listening, and maybe my brother in the Bronx freezing with 10 other cops eating donuts.
Oh, that's awesome.
And any other friends that
we
have been listening.
We should have been talking to them. That would be great.
Oh, my goodness. Nah. Awesome. That'd be great to have a bunch of New York City police officers.
And my wife and my mother and father and my daughter, Starla. And, nice. I'm sure they'd be in
and
bed.
And just to say what's up to our guys in the band, Mike and Kid.
Thank you for coming out tonight.
Thank you, Drew.
And
Adam and I
will be broadcasting from Wilmington, North Carolina. Hopefully we can get some of the cast of Dawson's Creek to join us tomorrow night at 1 to 3 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time. And until then, this is Dr. Drew on behalf of Adam Carolla saying, mahalo. Be a pussy. Be a pussy. Be a pussy.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.